celebrating the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are listening to Practically Righteous Net Radio on Live 365. Practically Righteous Ministries presents, He is Risen. He is risen indeed. Here's Pastor Michael.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. That was the standard greeting of the early church. Whenever two Christians would meet, they would remember the glorious fact that Jesus rose from the dead, and that he proved that he was who he said he was, and that he had authority in heaven and on earth, and that he had authority over death, hell, and the grave. Whenever they would meet, they would greet each other with, "He is risen," and the other would respond, "He is risen indeed." What a glorious greeting. Today's message is entitled, He is Risen. He is risen indeed. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord and ask the teacher to come and share his heart with us. Lord Jesus, we come before you and are in awe of the promise you fulfilled in your life, death, and resurrection from the dead. Thank you, Lord, for the hope you've given us, that after this brief time on earth is over, there awaits us an eternal destiny beyond all that we can dream. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that you would not be in heaven without us, and that you would come to earth to teach us, and then lay down your life willingly to save us, and then rise from the dead to be our great high priest and intercessor. Thank you, Lord, for offering salvation as a free gift to all who would believe. Lord, we believe. Help us lay hold of that promise and turn our lives to you. Help us, Lord, to follow you and worship you today. Help us lay aside every weight that hinders us, that we may run the race you have set before us and win the prize you have for us at the end of the race. Jesus, we lift you up today. Today, we remember. Today we celebrate. In Jesus' name, for your honor and glory. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the central event in human history. It is the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan for mankind, foretold in prophecy throughout the Old Testament from Genesis through Malachi. From the sin of Adam, mankind was separated from God. And God, in His love, began a series of events which ended in our reconciliation with Him. The Old Testament is the story of God's redemptive plan for mankind. Throughout the Old Testament, God carefully lays out His plan, which we see unfold through the lives of the patriarchs, the prophets, the kings, and the people. The lives we see recounted either are directly in the lineage of Jesus, or are symbolic of his life and sacrifice and resurrection. The Psalms of David, the writings of Moses, Isaiah, Daniel, Zechariah, Malachi, and the rest, and indeed the amazing story of Jonah, are all prophetic. They point to Jesus and his mission on earth, to his death, and to his resurrection. Here are some excerpts from David's Psalms. In Psalm 2, verse 7, it says, "I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.'" In Psalm 16, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." Isaiah had a lot to say about the resurrection of the Redeemer, and of our resurrection too. In Isaiah chapter 49, verses 6 and 7, God spoke through the prophet. He says, "Is it too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and to bring back those of Israel that I have kept? I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nations. "To the servant and rulers, kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see you and bow down. because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. And again, in Isaiah chapter 62, verses 10 and 11, he says, pass through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, raise a banner for the nations. The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. And again, in chapter 59, verse 20, God says, the Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. Of the resurrection of the believers and the end of the age, Isaiah says in chapter 26, verse 19, but your dead will live, their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Here's my favorite passage in the entire Bible. It's Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 through 12. Every time I read this, I get shivers up and down my spine. For nowhere in Scripture is there a more eloquent description of what Jesus went through to save us. It says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities, and he carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will also see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. What a powerful testimony of the sacrifice of Jesus, of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And this was written 700 years before the event. When we come back from this quick break, we'll look at what Jesus himself said about his death on the cross and about his resurrection, and how these events were the purpose and goal of his ministry. Stay tuned.
Among us, a tender shoot, a root from dry ground. In him no beauty we found. Scorned and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with like one from whom men hide their faces. Not esteemed but denied, not desired but despised, he was wounded for our transgression. Like a sheep before shearers is silent, as a lamb led to slaughter, he said not a word, a sign of grave with the wicked. No evil he'd done, no deceit was on his tongue. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Chastisement for our peace fell on him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. He has borne our griefs and our sorrows. He was for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace fell on him, and by thank you. and by His stripes we are healed.
We're continuing with He is risen. He is risen indeed. Here's Pastor Michael.
Hi, we're back. Before the break, we walked through the Old Testament, sharing some of the prophecies in the Bible concerning the Redeemer of mankind, and that from the Scriptures He had to die and be raised to life again. Jesus Christ fulfilled these prophecies, and not only that, He knew He was fulfilling the prophecies, that only He could be mankind's redemption from sin, and that the only way He could do it was through the cross and through the resurrection. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection were the purpose of Jesus' ministry on earth. The crucifixion was not a surprise to Jesus. It was the climax to His ministry, and everything He said and everything He did led to the cross. But it did not end at the cross. He knew that He was the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for the salvation of mankind. He preached good news to the poor. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He taught and rebuked and corrected and spoke the truth in love. But the cross was always before Him. And after that, the resurrection from the dead. He spoke plainly of the cross and of His rising from the dead. These were events that were going to happen. And He planned His ministry around these events. Jesus reminded His disciples of the events of the Old Testament that were prophetic of what He was about to fulfill in the immediate future. In the most familiar verse of the Bible, John 3:16, Jesus reminded them of the bronze snake that Moses erected out in the wilderness that saved all the people who were bitten by venomous snakes because of God's wrath. It was a prophetic model that He was to fulfill in the salvation of mankind. The story is in Numbers chapter 21, verse 9. It says, "So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked up at the bronze snake, he lived." In John chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." In John chapter 12, verses 31 and 32, Jesus also said, "Now is the time for judgment on the world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all men to Myself." Jesus reminded them of Jonah, who was in a huge fish for 3 days and then was vomited out. And after that, the whole city of Nineveh repented and was saved. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and scribes for asking Him for a miraculous sign from heaven to validate His authority, citing the events in Jonah. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 through 41, it says, "He answered, 'A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here." Jesus reminded them of the manna that God sent from heaven to feed the people of Israel who were wandering in the desert for 40 years. It was a sign to the generations of what Jesus would do for them. In John chapter 6, verse 51, Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Jesus gave them examples from everyday life of the shepherds in the field. In John chapter 10, verse 11, he said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." In Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 and 19, Jesus made it clear to the disciples. He said, "We are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." And again, in John chapter 14, verse 19, Jesus said, "Before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." And again, in Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, it says, "Now when they came together in Galilee, he said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life.' And the disciples were filled with grief." Jesus made plans around the resurrection. Just a few hours before his arrest in Gethsemane, he told his disciples what would happen that night, that the disciples would be scattered, but that he will rise from the dead and meet them in Galilee. At the Last Supper, in Matthew 26, verses 28 through 32, he told them, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Think about these scriptures for a while we take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll look at what happened on Easter morning. Stay tuned.
Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Spare the one they call the King of the Jews. The Son of God said the Roman soldier, marveling at the way he died that day. Of God,
love of God. He gave all for you. Hear him call to you who are
continuing with, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Here's Pastor Michael.
Okay, we're back. The resurrection really happened, just as it was foretold in the Old Testament, just as Jesus proclaimed it as an imminent event in his ministry. On Easter morning, Jesus rose from the dead. Each gospel gives an account of the resurrection, and since each was written from a different perspective, each gives unique details to the record of the event. Here's an ordering of the accounts. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 11, it says, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, and an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go, tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened." In Luke chapter 24, verse 12, it says, "Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering what had happened." Then in John chapter 20, verse 9, it says, "Finally, the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed." They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Luke picks up the story later that day, on the road to Emmaus, where two disciples encounter the risen Jesus. In Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 16, it says, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him." Now these two men were sad, and they told Jesus about what had happened and how they had hoped that he was the Messiah. But he was crucified, and now women said that he was raised from the dead, and they didn't know what to think. In Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 27, it says, "He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself.'" John picks up the story later in the upper room. In John chapter 20, verses 19 through 21, it says, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.'" Now, this wasn't the only appearance of the risen Lord after the resurrection. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." After the resurrection, Jesus met the disciples one last time, and he gave them the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" Luke picks up the story in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. He says, "And after this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" The most important event in history happened for you. Jesus came to earth to save you from your sins, to reconcile you to God, to teach you his ways, to guide you along the path to righteousness. He came to pay a debt he did not owe, because you owed a debt you could not pay. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead to sit at the right hand of God to be your great high priest and to be your intercessor before God. He lives forever to be your personal Lord and Savior and God and friend. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Share the message with someone this week. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word and for your life. Thank you for paying our debt on the cross and rising from the dead to give us hope for a future in heaven with you. Thank you, gracious Lord, for saving us from destruction. Help us, Lord, to remember today and always your love for us and the amazing grace you've shown us, that while we were still sinners and enemies of God, you died for us. You purchased us with your own blood. Help us, Lord, to grab on to the free gift you've given us, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us, Lord, to share that gift with the lost. Help us, Lord, to be the love of God, the light of the world, and the salt of the earth. In your name alone, Lord Jesus, for your honor and glory. And everyone said, His love endures forever. Thank you so much for listening. You guys have a great week.
You've been listening to He Is Risen. He Is Risen Indeed with Michael Packard, Pastor and Ministry Coordinator for Practically Righteous Ministries. For more information about this program, visit our website at www.berighteous.com. Thanks for listening. You are listening to Practically Righteous Net Radio, live 365.